Just want to remind you that our youth camp will be August 8th through the 10th. So if you have any teenagers or young people, our camp is free. It's by donation. And God always provides, and we always have a good time. So any teenagers there. And you know, just want to pray over our tithes and our offerings. How many has benefited from being a giver? Amen. And, you know, I heard it once said that God's payday is not every Friday, but it's never late. Amen. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise for every tithe and offering. We bring it before you, Father. We invest it into your kingdom with cheer and joy. And, Father, we consider it a privilege because we know that everything good comes from you. And, Lord, we give you our portion and we give you our best, Father, and we honor you. And we thank you, Father, that you supply each and every one of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. I'm excited about beginning a new series, and I'm just entitling this, Teach Us to Pray. And you'll find out why here in just a minute. But I think sometimes we can look at prayer and we can say, well, that's a subject, I know it, I do it. But I think sometimes we miss out. And it's always good to go over the basics again and, you know, to look at it from maybe from a different perspective. And that's what we're going to do tonight. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says this, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done as it is, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so this disciple was watching Jesus pray. He heard him pray. He was listening to what he was saying, and he realized, wow, I'm not there. And so he said this statement, Lord, teach us to pray. He recognized the need to be taught on how to enter into God's presence that Jesus entered into. And so, you know, God's people need to be taught to pray. And in this series, we're going to learn some things that in prayer, we're going to learn how to connect with God. You know, if you don't make a connection, if you've got if there's a wire that's not connected properly, the power doesn't go to it, right? So in prayer, we're going to learn how to connect with God. We're going to learn how to get to know him better. You know, because prayer is really an atmosphere of intimacy. And it's really where there's a divine exchange. You get to talk to God, but he talks to you. And he gives you revelation. He gives you instruction. He gives you understanding. And it's through the avenue of prayer that that takes place. We're going to learn how to come to know his will. Because really, if you pray, you better know his will before you pray. Otherwise, you're like shooting blindfolded. You know? And you may or may not hit the target. Right? We're also going to learn how we can conform to the image of Christ. You know, in prayer, you can share your heart's desires and nothing scares God. Amen? He's not afraid if you've had a bad day and you're sharing that in his presence. That's okay, because he'll show you how to make it a better day. And we're going to learn how to conform to the image of Christ. And we're going to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's in prayer that God teaches you how to operate in your gift. And it's in prayer where you develop that skill so that you can exercise it. All right? Prayer is like God's secret university where he teaches you things about his kingdom and about his ways and methods of doing things. We're going to learn to develop an ear to hear. You know, we've got to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying in this hour and in this moment. It's hard to live on yesterday's manna, because yesterday's manna gets stale. And we got to have things fresh from God. Amen? And we're also going to learn how through prayer we bring healing to our land. It's amazing the power that is unleashed through prayer. You know, we have the power to change things at our fingertips. We're going to unleash his power. You know, when you come out of a time of prayer, you should be filled up with power than to act on what took place in prayer. And then we're going to learn how to find answers and solutions to life in prayer. Amen? So you ready to get into this? Now, we read this prayer in Luke chapter 11, also in Matthew 6. And what we have made it is we have made it a prayer verbatim. We call it the Lord's Prayer. But you know, within this, he was giving us principles to focus on. First of all, when you pray, we need to focus on praising God. Hallowed be thy name. We need to focus on, you know, his kingdom is coming. When Jesus said, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. He also said, the kingdom of God is within you. But God wants his will done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Focus on one day at a time. Amen? Sometimes we try to get ahead. Forgive our sins as we forgive those. You know what? There needs to be an exchange of forgiveness. So let's get into this. I want to encourage you. God hears you. Amen? Say, God hears me. Say, God loves my voice. He loves to hear me talk. He really does. God hears you. Your voice, your communication is important to God. All right? Go with me to Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10. You may not think that people in your life are listening to you, but God is listening to you. Amen? So I want to encourage you. When you know that God hears you, you're going to want to pray more. Because what you have to say is important to God. Psalm 10 and verse 16. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their hearts. You will cause your ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. I want you to know that God hears the desire of the humble. He hears your prayers. He knows your concerns. He knows your needs, but he wants to hear your voice. Because your voice gives him permission to move on your behalf. Hallelujah. It seems like God wants to do good things, but it's prayer that gives him the permission. Well, God is God. He doesn't need permission, doesn't he? Tell me how God forced you to get saved. Was anybody forced to get saved? Did an evangelist put you at gunpoint and say, you better accept me or else? God never forces his way into a person's life. He only operates by permission. And when we pray, it's like prayer is a picture of our faith, and we're saying, God, I want you to move in this situation. And God will say, yes, because your voice is important to me. I hear what you're saying. Amen? God hears you. Go to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Verse 1. We'll read a few verses, actually. The whole psalm was really good, but praise waits for you, O God, in Zion, and unto you shall the vow be performed. O you that hears what? Prayer. Unto you shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you shall purge them away. Blessed is the man that whom you choose and cause to approach to you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, even your holy temple. But I want you to know that God hears your prayer. That's good news, isn't it? And because He's a prayer-hearing God. He's a prayer-listening God. It's up to us to come. Amen? Who can pray? Everyone can pray. But sometimes, the way a person lives, they may not be effective in their prayers. Amen? You know, a child of a parent, let me put it to you this way. One of Gabriel's friends could call me, and because they know Gabriel, I may be able to help them. But it's a lot harder for them to help me because they don't have the relationship like Gabriel does with me or Josiah does, right? Because Gabriel is my son. And because Josiah's mother, they have an open door access to me. And we have that relationship. So when someone is a child of God, guess what? You have an open access to God your Father. You could come anytime, any place, anywhere before the Creator of the universe, and you can discuss things. You can talk about it. Amen? Because he hears prayers. Verse 5, by terrible things in righteousness will you answer us. That phrase, terrible things, is really awesome deeds. You will answer us, O God, of our salvation, who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off from the sea, which by his strength sets fast the mountains, being girded with power. He stills the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at your tokens. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it with the river of God, which is full of water. You prepare them corn when you have so provided for it. He is a God who hears. Go to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Let's look at verse 17. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. What will he do? He will regard it. The Amplified says he will respond. God is a God who responds when you call to him. And God's not deaf. Amen? When you pray, God hears you the first time you pray. We know the story of Daniel. Daniel was praying for 21 days. He set his heart that he was going to seek God for 21 days. 21 days, he fasted in a way. I believe he just ate fruits and vegetables. And an angel came to him. And the angel said, Daniel, we heard your prayer on the day that you sought God. So back on day one, God heard him praying. It's just that the angel was delayed from the prince of Persia or Tyre, whatever it was. But God heard the prayer on the first day, and God was moving. Amen? Amen. Sometimes when you pray, you've got to stay in faith. You've got to stay engaged with God. You know, there's so many things in this life that can distract us and take our focus off what's important. You know, just the other day, actually it was Tuesday, yesterday, I had an appointment and I was driving and I said, okay, I'm going to be praising God. And then a few minutes later, my mind was just wandering to different things. I said, wait a minute, I've got to focus. You know, sometimes you've got to fight to keep your focus on what's necessary, because there's so many distractions in this world. But God will respond to your prayer. Go to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Let's look at verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will what? I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Can you say amen? God, it seems like God is just waiting for you to initiate the seeking process. What did he say in Matthew 7? Ask and what? He didn't say you might receive, did he? He didn't say that, you know, I may give you a text or an answer when I feel like it. When you ask, what's going to happen? You shall receive. All right? When you seek, what's going to happen? You shall find. When you knock, what's going to happen? The door shall be opened. God can't say it anything any stronger in the English language. When you do this, I will do this. He said, I shall. You shall receive. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door is open unto them. Sometimes it's that simple. We just need to ask, seek, or knock. God is never, when you knock on God's door, God's never going to say, excuse me, I'm busy. He's always available. Especially to those who call upon him. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. He actually quotes Psalm 34 here. And let's look at, let's go down to verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over who? And his ears are open to their what? Do we have anybody righteous in the house? You were made righteous by the blood of Christ, right? As a matter of fact, the New Testament says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? You know, we're so worried about the government spying on us, but I'll tell you what, God's been listening to our conversations ever since creation. The problem is, if you're not doing anything wrong, if you're not doing anything bad, it's no big deal. That's why the Bible says for us to live above reproach. God hears everything and God sees everything. Notice, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He's looking out for you. He's looking on you. He's looking to you. His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is what again? What is he to them that do evil? He's against them that do evil. So if a person is living in evil and they go to pray, it's going to seem like taking a ball and throwing it at the wall and coming right back at you. Because God is against them that do evil. You know, part of how we live causes our prayers to be effective. All right? And let's go to Psalm 34. Peter quotes it here, but let's read the whole psalm. It's very good, very powerful. Psalm 34. I want you to know that God hears your prayers, and then we're going to move into how we connect with God in prayer. Amen? It's important to make that God connection. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. Oh, it didn't say that? I will bless the Lord how many times? At all times. Say this, it's not God's fault. When things go wrong in our life, it's not God's fault. When bad things happen, it's not God's fault. When things don't work out like we think they should, it's not God's fault. Therefore, we can bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be in my mouth sometimes. Continually? Okay. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come, let us exalt his name together. That would eliminate all gossip, wouldn't it? When someone comes to you with a problem, say, come, let's magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That'll turn the situation around pretty quick. Okay? Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and what? He heard me and delivered me from my fears. He just reminds you that fear is not in your DNA. So if fear is not in your DNA, it's very easy to remove from your life. Amen? They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord what? Heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. How many of his troubles? When you're in trouble, call. Who are you going to call? Jesus. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers him. Who's he camping around? Those that fear him. And what's going to happen? He'll deliver them. Woo, you got the angel of the Lord camping around you. He has set up camp around you. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusted him. How many have tasted and found that he's good? Okay? Fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. That's awesome. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. I don't want to do evil because I want to be remembered. The righteous cry and the Lord what? Hears and delivers them out of what? All your troubles. That's good news. He delivers you out of all your troubles, but it's based on you praying. It's based on your righteousness. It's based on you turning to Him. See, too many times the devil wants to get us in trouble and we turn to the wrong source. We turn to our experience. We turn to the neighbors. We turn to our family. What about the Lord? He is the first responder. Turn to the Lord first and then turn to your neighbor. Turn to the Lord first and then turn to your family. Turn to the Lord first and then go to the other sources, but go to Him first. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart. If you have a broken heart, He's closer than you think. And save such as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Yes, we have a lot of afflictions, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Yes, you may have a lot of afflictions, but know that there's deliverance coming. Pretty soon, you'll be delivered out of all those afflictions. It's based on prayer. He keeps all His bones, not one of them is broken. That was fulfilled in Jesus, wasn't it? On the cross, not one bone was broken because God said it. Can you imagine? God spoke this word in Psalms, and it happened years later on the cross, and it came to pass. That's how powerful God's word is. God's word kept Jesus' bones from breaking. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, how do we connect with God? See, prayer is not just about saying words. It's not just about reciting the right thing. But in prayer, we have to be able to connect with God. We have to be able to plug into His power. We have to be able to get what we need to solve the problem. Now, the word connect means to attach, to join, to link. You know, today with computers, we can send someone a link. Maybe you came across this website that was so awesome and had such good information, and you wanted to share it. What do? You send an email with a link. And the person who gets the email, all they got to do is click on the link, and it takes them right to the same place. All of a sudden, now you're connected with the same information. That's how we need to be with God. We need to connect with God's information. Amen? And the Holy Spirit really is how we connect, because prayer is an expression of personal relationship. All right? It's a personal, one-on-one relationship with you and the Lord. And, you know, prayer has to be fluid, not so much formal. The Pharisees got all caught up in the formality. Remember the story? The one Pharisee said, I hope I'm not like that man. And then the man says, Father, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. There wasn't any formality, but there was power in the prayer, because guess what? His sins were forgiven. Because he cried out to God in simplicity and sincerity. Be simple in your prayers. Be sincere in your prayers. Be genuine. Because it's a personal relationship. It's based on mutual commitment. God is our creator, redeemer, and our covenant giver. And God will intervene in our affairs when we ask Him to. Not until then. Notice that when Peter, after he walked on the water and he got his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink, Jesus didn't extend His hand until He said, help. Amen? Although Jesus was right there, Jesus saw him sinking. But what did He do? He waited till Peter said help. Peter didn't have to go through all the formalities. All he had to do was say help. He needed help. Listen, if you need help, just say, I need help. And God understands. Amen. And guess what? He was right there. He did not let Peter drown. He was right there, ready to lift him up. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Friends, you've got to connect with God in prayer. You know, prayer is something that we should do. Prayer is something that we have to do. But prayer is more than duty. Prayer is conversation with the Almighty. There's a divine exchange that takes place in prayer. Prayer's not a monologue. That means where you're doing all the talking. Prayer is also listening. You know, you got to be able to listen to the instructions so that you can do what God wants you to do. If all you do is talk, 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 and you never listen, you're not going to know what to do. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we what? We receive of him. Isn't that good news? But how come that happens? Why do we receive what we ask? Notice, he put in that conjunction, because. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. When you keep God's commandments and when you do what's pleasing in his sight, whatever you ask, you receive. Now, it's a powerful promise, but there's also stringent conditions. If you want the powerful promise, you've got to meet the stringent conditions. You've got to keep God's word. See, one way to connect with God is to connect with his word. If you're going to pray, you're going to have the scripture. You cannot pray effectively without the word. What tells you what belongs to you? The word of God. So if you don't have the word, how do you know that it's yours? Are you guessing? Are you hoping? Well, I think so. No, you've got to have the word of God. If you want to connect with God in prayer, you've got to connect with the word. Maybe you need to go to the word before you go to prayer. I had a conversation with a person recently. And this person said that they were having a hard time forgiving. So I asked this person, I said, well, what are you trying to do to overcome that? And they said, I'm praying. I said, what else are you trying to do? They said, I'm praying. I said, have you looked up scriptures that talk about forgiving? And they said, no. And I said, well, you know, it's the word. Faith comes by hearing. If you hear what God says about forgiveness, it's going to be easier to forgive. But they were trying to do it on their own without scripture. If you try to do it without scripture, your prayers are going to be ineffective. Because part of keeping his commandments, you might as well say keeping his word. And in order to keep his word, you got to know it, right? You can't keep what you don't know. You know, if you didn't know that you had a $20 bill in your jeans that you put in the laundry and you needed the $20 bill, you know, you can't use it if you don't know it's there. Until the next day when you stick your hand in your pocket, you go, oh, wow, I didn't know that was there. You realize you can't use what you don't know. Okay? So he said, whatsoever we ask, we receive. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He goes on. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. What did Jesus tell us to pray? Pray to who in who? Pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Do you realize that you have to know Jesus by his name? How do you get to know people by their name? You talk to them. You spend time with them, right? You meet them a couple times, and then you start remembering their name, and you start calling them by their name. If you want to connect with God in prayer, you're going to have to become familiar with the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the authorization code that you need from every transaction in heaven. J-E-S-U-S. You shall call upon, all who call upon the name of Jesus, what? Shall be saved. As long as you know Jesus as the transaction code in heaven, you can, anything can be yours. But you got to believe in his name. You've got to believe in the power of his name, in the authority of his name. And he also said, love one another. I wish he wouldn't have said that. As he gave us as a suggestion, right? You mean he didn't suggest that we should love one another? Say, it's a commandment. Say, I must love one another. You don't have to like them, but you do have to love them. Amen? It's a command. But that's part of receiving what you ask. These are conditions. And go on to verse 24. And he that keeps his commandments dwells in him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Okay? So you've got to, when you keep his commandments, you dwell in him. How do you know that God, how do you know that you love God? What's the one thing that God distinguishes by telling the difference between people who love him and people that don't? If you love God, you'll keep my commands. The more commands that you can keep, the more you love God. You know, you ever sing that song, More Love, More Power? Here you go. Here's your answer right here. You want more love? Get more commandments. Now, Jesus summed up the commandments in two. Isn't God awesome? He takes the 10 and brings it down to 2 to make it really easy. Love God and love people like yourself. Well, I don't love myself. Well, that's a problem, because if you don't love yourself, it's going to be hard to love people. You got to love yourself. You got to love people as you love yourself. How do you love yourself? You accept who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? You declare what God says about you. That's how you love yourself. And he that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. When NASA, they launch a satellite into the atmosphere, and it goes into orbit. How do they know that that satellite is on track? Because it sends back a signal. Beep, beep, beep. There's a signal that that satellite gives to let the people know who put it there that it's in orbit. God sends you back a signal. He said, the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're my son and you're my daughter. We have a signal that comes to us that lets us know that we're God's. Not God's, but we're his. But see, if you keep his commandments, you dwell in him. See, that's the thing about having what you receive, having whatever you ask for be received, is dwelling in God. It's making that connection with God. It's dwelling there. What is that saying? That means you now have a lifestyle that's in tune with God. See, God did not save you and that's it. Once you're saved now, you've got to grow. Once you're saved, you've got to move. Amen? And I'm not saying about necessarily location, but I'm talking about you've got to progress in your knowledge of God. You should know more God, you should know more about God now than the day you first got saved. And we should ever be increasing in that knowledge. That means we're dwelling there. You know, just like the angel of the Lord that encamps around those who fear God. You know, those who fear God, the angel of the Lord comes and he's close by and he's there whenever you need him. In other words, he's dwelling within your vicinity. You might say he's your neighbor. And whenever you need help, he's there to help you. That's how we need to be with God. If you want to have effective prayers, you've got to dwell with God. You've got to walk with God. You've got to get up with God. You've got to go about your day with God. You've got to eat dinner with God. You've got to go to bed with God. Amen? What am I saying? I'm saying that God needs to be involved in every area, every aspect of your life. How does he do that? By invitation. You know, how many found out that when you became a Christian, there was a whole lot of stuff you didn't know? You know, because as a Christian now, you're living in a different kingdom. You were in a kingdom of darkness, but now you're in a kingdom of light. And the kingdom of light has a different set of rules than the kingdom of darkness, didn't it? In the kingdom of darkness, you were king. You took care of yourself. You did whatever you had to do. You just followed whatever inclination came your way. But now, in the kingdom of light, now you're accountable to Jesus. See, before you were accountable to yourself. But now you've got to live your life to Jesus. You actually have to deny yourself now. And this is the type of place that we need to get to connect with God in prayer. The Amplified says it this way. And we receive from him whatever we ask because we watchfully obey his orders. We observe his suggestions and injunctions. This is the Amplified. Follow his plan for us and habitually practice what is pleasing to him. And this is his order, his command, his injunction, that we should believe in, put our faith and trust and adhere and rely on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? He said, if I know Jesus Christ and him crucified, that's all I need to know. That was enough for him to jumpstart his ministry. He goes on to say, Amplified, that we should love one another just as he had commanded us. All who keep his commandments, who obey his orders and follow his plan, live and continue to live and stay and abide in him and he in them. They let Christ be a home to them. And they are the home of Christ. And by this we know and understand and have the proof that he really lives and makes his home in us by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. This is how we have to connect to God in prayer. We have to make this divine connection. You're not here on this earth for yourself anymore. Every one of us has a divine purpose. Every one of us. And the quicker you can get into your purpose, the happier you'll be. You know, just discovering what your purpose is a joy in itself. It'll make you elated. But then doing it, you got to progress in that. Go with me to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. See, this is only point one, how to connect with God in prayer. You know, there's a lot of people who pray and don't connect with God. And when things aren't connected right, they're not going to work right. If you don't believe me, Just let me take the positive cable off your battery and see if it'll start. Why? Because it's not connected. There are people that pray all kinds of prayers who aren't connected to God. They're not connected by relationship. And that's why their prayers are ineffective. And that's why people get discouraged. You know, when it doesn't seem like your prayers are working, discouragement will be knocking at your door. Satan will be glad to tell you, oh, it doesn't work. All that stuff was lies anyway. Well, he's the big fat liar himself. And he's the one whose pants are going to be on fire. Psalm 84. Making a connection with God. Look at verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my what? Say, God hears my prayers. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Now notice, when you connect with God in prayer, notice what's going to happen. Behold, O God, our shield. Look upon the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. What's he saying? One day in God's courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere, right? Listen, it's better to live your life for God than against God. All right? You may think it's tough now, but it's better for you in the end. Living for God now has better benefits in the end than living against God now. Listen, the Bible says that sin is fun for a season. But eventually the season changes. And you realize that the sin that you were in isn't so fun anymore because of the destruction that it's causing and the imprisonment that it brings. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Wow. He would just rather just be a doorkeeper. You know those guys that stand outside of hotels? They greet you as you come in. They say goodbye to you as you leave. A doorkeeper. He would rather do that than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Incredible. He found the value of connecting with God. Now notice what he said. When you do this, when you make this connection, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. Sun gives you light. Sun gives you warmth. And he's a shield. He gives you light and he's a shield. He protects you. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold to who? It's almost saying the same thing that 1 John 3:22 said. Whatever we ask, we receive, because no good thing will he withhold. Say, God doesn't want to withhold good from me because I walk uprightly. It doesn't mean to walk on your two feet. It means to do what's right. It means to be holy. It means to get rid of sin. It means to continue to make adjustments in your life to God. It means to be quick to repent and quick to forgive. And God will be a sun to you and a shield to you, and no good thing will he withhold to them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in you. It's going to take you trusting in God. The question is, can you trust him? The more you know about God, the more you know you can trust him. The more you know about God, the more confident you are in trusting him. So in prayer, we have to make a divine connection. We have to connect with God's power. Sometimes when you go to connect with God's power, there might be something in your life that's in the way. It has to be removed before a connection can be made. You can't pull your car into the garage if there's a car already in there, right? You got to move the car in order to pull yours in. Sometimes that's what God has to do. There's things in our life that have to be removed before we can connect with his power. But you know what? God is gracious, and he helps us remove the junk that's in the way. He'll say, why don't you do this? You know, why don't you adjust this? Why don't you go tell your sorry to that person? And sometimes our response is, I don't want to. God didn't ask you what you wanted. He said, go do it. But see, here's the thing. If we don't do it, you will remain without God's power. You'll be disconnected. But if you want to be connected to his power, you got to remove that thing. You got to do that thing. You got to suck it up and do it. And then God will be this to you. Go, okay, one more scripture and then I'm done. Oh my goodness. Go to Lamentations chapter 3. My fingers are sticking together. Look at verse 22. Because of the Lord's faithful love. I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard. We do not perish, for his mercies, what? Never end. They are new every morning. Great is his what? Say, God is faithful. His faithfulness is great. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. He made a connection. He said, I will say the Lord is my portion. And what did he do? He decided to put his hope in him. Amen. Look at verse 25. The Lord is good to those who what? Uh-oh, do we ever get in too much of a hurry? We're out in front of God. Remember King Saul? Samuel said, don't sacrifice until I get there. What happened? He was impatient. And before Samuel got to see, that was a test. He wanted to see if Saul would wait on the Lord. You know, Moses said, God told Moses, I'm going to move you from here. He said, look, if your glory or grace doesn't go, I'm not going. Moses made up his mind that he wasn't going to move unless God's glory was moving. So how can you connect to God tonight? One decision. You make a decision that you're going to connect with God and you open yourself up to the Lord. And you'll connect. Right? You're going to connect. Just like Josiah. He knows how to connect. He knows how to make the right connections. We got to be like a little child that would crawl through obstacles to get to make a divine connection to God. What are you willing to do to connect with God? Amen? Let's make a divine connection right now. Let's make a divine connection. You start by being a person whom God can trust. Amen. I want to be a person that God shares his secrets with. I want to be a person that God can trust me with information. What does that mean? When God tells me something, he'll know that I'll do it. I want to be a person whom God trusts. It's all right. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we make a divine connection with you tonight, Father. You are our life source. You are the source of all good things in our life. All good and perfect gifts come down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variance nor shadow of turning. And tonight, Father, we come. I want you to lay it on the line tonight. I want you to give God your all in your heart, your mind, your body, in Jesus' name. Make yourself available to God. Hallelujah. Be willing and obedient, and you'll eat the good of the land. Be willing to forgive. Be willing to forget. Oh, sometimes the things that we remember hurt us. We got to know how to forget some things, forgetting those things which are behind. You got to forget the past. You're not in the past anymore. You're in a different day. But we have to connect with God in prayer. God wants to hear your voice. Call out to your God. Tell him your heart's desire. Call out to him right now. He's hearing you. He's listening to you. He loves your voice. You call out to him in prayer. Hallelujah. Call out to God. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm here. Worship him. Give him glory. Praise him for who he is and what he's done. He's got your best interest at heart. He'll help you out of trouble. He'll do great and mighty things for you. He'll be a sun and a shield to you. Press in. Press into his presence. Press in. Press in. Press in. Draw near to God, and the Bible says he'll draw near to you. It's in James. Sometimes you gotta make the step. It's called a step of faith. But you make one step and God will meet you where you are. He'll remove pain. He'll heal the hurt. He'll cause you to see things that you've never seen before. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's make a divine connection with God. Your Father loves you. He's drawing you to himself. Hallelujah. God is, he's a very real God. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We make ourselves available, Father. If you know that you need to make an adjustment, just make it right now. Make that adjustment in your heart and then carry it out. Hallelujah. Because you can't fool God. Oh, we come to you, Father. We come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly, come confidently before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace when you need it. There's grace for when you need it. There's ability for when you need it. There's help when you need it. Hallelujah, there's deliverance when you need it. You are God's child. You come based on what Jesus Christ has done, and you make yourself available to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for bringing us out of darkness. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for revealing to us what it is you made my life on this earth for, in Jesus' name. Thank you for showing me, Father. Thank you for doing good things to me. Thank you for giving to me your Holy Spirit and your Word. Hallelujah. Oh, this is how you connect with God. For those of you that can pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Oh, Rabasanda, Rabakosanda. That's an accelerated way to connect with God. The best decision I ever made was to make Jesus my Lord. And the second best decision was to receive the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It changed my life. It'll change your life too. Oh, Father, I give you thanks and praise. We're making a connection. A divine connection with God. Because a three-chord strand is not quickly broken. Hallelujah. And if you're here tonight and you just need hands laid on you in prayer, you just need God to touch you in that way, I'll be happy to pray for you. There's power here. if you need prayer. Father, we pray for Janine, Lord, a pastor's wife in Arizona that died and was resuscitated, Lord. Send your word to her and heal her and touch her and deliver her from death, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, don't let her go until she's finished, ran her course with joy in Jesus' name. Father, her life shall not be cut short. She shall live and proclaim the gospel. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Young people, I encourage you to connect with God. Get in the Word. Study the Bible. It's your life source. It's what helped me. I got into God's Word and I haven't gotten out since. That's been 30 plus years. You'll never regret getting into God's Word. Everywhere I went, when I fell in love with the Bible, I brought my Bible with me. Amen? Amen? You got to fall in love with the Word because it's your weapon against Satan. If you don't know the Word, you're open to deception. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you feel like you've connected with God tonight? He hears your prayers. That's good to know, isn't it? So all you got to do is call upon Him. And when you leave tonight, it doesn't stop. Amen? When you leave these doors, you get to practice what you declared to God. And believe me, you'll have opportunities to practice. Amen. Well, I'm so glad that you came out tonight. And we're looking forward to getting more into this series. We're going to cover all those things that we talked about. Next week, we're going to learn about using God's will in prayer. It's the key to effective prayer. Amen. So if you know someone that'd like to join you, bring them along next week. Let's rock this place. Hallelujah. Have a good night.